Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, the number one food podcast on Apple podcast charts. And I'm your host, Carl Fiedini. We're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive. On the menu today, so it's National Hispanic Heritage Month, and I know Chef Jeffrey cooked up some delicioso dishes today. Thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's production. I can't wait to get into this this chuck steak, ropa vieja, and the empanadas. Oh, Dios mío. Our dear friend and colleague, Patrick Kelly from the Produce Industry Podcast, also joins us on the show today. And I just want to get into this. Jefferson Starship, the Jeffy Jeff, Chef Jeffrey. Why don't you jump into pre-shift and explain today's dishes to the audience? Go.
So we have 4 dishes. One was thrown in there from a couple weeks ago, but we wanted to do something special. We did a lamb porterhouse that I wanted to pay a little homage to the cuisine of the subcontinent of India. So we did tikka masala, and that had a rice cake that was infused with fenugreek, and then we had some green peppers on there, and John did an exceptional job. I can't wait for everyone to see these pictures because it's just drop-dead gorgeous. And then we shifted gears and moved over to Latin America, Hispanic Heritage Month. So we wanted to do something a little bit different. I have to be different. So pork tenderloin is one of the dishes I wanted to look into, but I cut them like they were actually like beef fillets. And then we did that on top of a rice cake that was infused with mojo seasoning, made the mojo from scratch. We actually marinated the pork before, seared that, did a pink, I don't know if anybody's seen these pink Dominican beans that were absolutely phenomenal. They puff up as you cook them. So the texture or the mouthfeel is more meaty, if you want to call it that, than black beans and just your regular red bean.
Where are they from?
Dominican.
Okay.
So it's just, I fell in love with them a couple of years ago, and it just, they're like speckled before you, if you look at them dried, they're speckled with pink and then red dots on them. And they're just gorgeous. The flavor profile is just spot on too. And then the last dish, I wanted to get it with a chuck steak. Great, because everybody knows chuck for one thing, and that's burgers. But there's so many things you can do. Pot roast is one of the things that, you know, you go to the supermarket, that's the best thing they use for it. This one, I kind of did a sear, and then instead of just searing and then braising, I actually used a pressure cooker. And within 45 minutes, 55 minutes, I was done with the whole meal. I used dry-aged sherry to kick it up a notch. I did little carrots and red peppers. I charred the red peppers, put that in there, built the layers through that way. And then instead of doing like rice and beans, which is normal for that cuisine, I did mashed yuca, similar to what Dominicans do. It's called mango. Mango is olive oil, salt, garlic, and they mash the thing together, almost like mofongo from the Puerto Rican. But this one, I actually played with it more of a, I'm moving my hands like everybody can see me. This one I did more like a mashed potato, but then I infused it with some like lemon and lime zest and orange zest to give it some of that citrus that people look for. And then we made a red pepper coulis as the sauce on top of that. And we used some broccoli rabe to bring some green to it. So John captured that beautifully. And then this is the first for me. I've never really played around with empanada shells from Puerto Rico. I love them because they're a little bit thinner. They baked up phenomenally. So it had like an aeration into it as
I need you to understand something. The empanadas were fire, dude. Were amazing.
And what's amazing is it's exactly what we put on the plate for the main entree.
Listen, people, I know you're listening to this and you're like, oh man, I wish I was having empanadas. They were freaking delicious. Delicioso. Forgive me for the interruption, but there needed to be an exclamation point on this, and people need to know.
Gracias. Yeah. I appreciate that. But funny story about the nada, I'll tell you in a minute. But that one, I actually put a little bit of cheese in there, and I know that's not really atypical for the Latin cuisine to have empanadas, unless it's going to be like guava and cheese and stuff like that. But I wanted to give something a little bit more creaminess to it, too, as a filler and to add to the flavor profile of the ropa vieja. And then we served that with the roasted red pepper, and we tried that way. That was just, like you said, it was unbelievable.
I am going to tell you that I'm a little bit, at first I wasn't really on board with your ropa vieja concoction, right? I was like, man, this can't be good. You know, it doesn't look like anything I've ever seen. You know, my wife's Cuban, like we eat this stuff
at home. Authentic, right?
Muy authentico.
Thank you.
Yes. So I'm like, oh man, I don't want to have to tell Jeff this sucks. You know what I mean? But at the end of but let me tell you something. You put that, you know, you gave me that little spoon taster and I was like, oh my God, it was really good.
So I appreciate that.
I'm saving up for the day that I can tell you to get the hell out because it's terrible, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, man. Thank God.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like Keith Sayers and I talk about, you know, he's been 16 years studying it. I wrote an article that John's going to put out on our blog page, and it's about the cuisine in Florida. Florida does not have a definitive cuisine type. Like if I were to say to you cheesesteak, what city is known for cheesesteak?
Philly.
Right. We're not really known. Everybody will like key lime pie. Well, no, technically there's no key limes grown commercially here in Florida anymore. Listen,
we're known for cafe con leche, drugs, and
face eating zombies, bath soaps. I get it.
And I-95, the worst part of it. You know what I mean?
But for me growing up as a kid, I always heard people that lived in New York and how they had, I was born in, I'm from the Bronx. I'm from, me when I traveled, I'm like, yeah, I'm from Florida. It was like one of those things that was kind of embarrassed being born and grown up here. But now I kind of embrace it because the melting pot that has been created from the influx of the immigrants, fabulous.
I embrace that. I concur, sir. But I want to go further where I embrace Florida. I'm all about that Florida man. You know, like that whole perception.
Wait, the news? Like the guys that are running around naked and stuff?
No, I don't know what naked. What are you talking about? Why do you have to bring it to the...
Google Florida man.
Why does it always
man
come down to skin with you?
Google, because... hello.
My God.
Do you not know who's sitting across from
do,
you?
I do. We're working on you, man. We're working on you. No, but like this, you know, just this like, you know, look, at the end of the day, you've been in Florida for a long time.
Yeah.
As have I. And, you know, John, so long story short, a lot of hurricanes we've been through, a lot of stuff,
yep.
Florida stuff, right?
Hanging
chads, alligators, you know, like, oh my God, we've been through everything. But I embrace all of it. And at the end of the day, we are we're the freest freaking state in the union right now. And I'm digging it.
No, I get that. But when you're growing up and you don't have that sense of being, that's a different situation. Like you know, the Northeast has got known for Maryland crab and lobsters and all that.
Yeah.
And then pizza in New York.
Right.
Florida, as far as cuisine was concerned, to me, there was nothing.
Right.
And that was where the disconnect for me was. Now you have
Cuban
people like
coffee.
Well,
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
But you have
crack in a cup.
How many did you have?
Right.
We have Michelle Bernstein. You have Alan Susser, Norman Van Aken, Mark Minatello, who's no longer here. He moved up Northeast. Those guys, these are.
He creeps me on Facebook.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Who, Minatello?
Minatello. Yeah. He doesn't ever say anything. There's never a like, a verb, it, nothing. But I see that he watches. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
Mark. I see you seeing.
Well, Norman's right over here in Dr. Phillips. He just opened up his new gig over there. Ryan Manning, myself, and a couple of people went and had drinks there.
Veronica's talking to them right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And, Norman's a great guy.
Yeah.
But that's where I kind of developed that cuisine and that knowledge of it and the respect. I think that's where I was going with this, coming all back full circle. You have to show respect to the cuisine. And that's what I'm trying to do with everything that we put out and the mashups that I do.
Well, I'm digging your mashup. And speaking of mashup.
Speaking of, this guy's a mashup.
He's totally a mashup. And I, you know, John gave me this like, hey man, are you going to, you know, he gave me like, come on, get him in.
He gave you the finger.
But I'm looking at the thing. We do 10 minutes of opening monologue. You know,
yeah, but this is PK.
That's true. You know?
I mean, this is the shoe dude.
That's what, I mean, let me tell you something. You people, you're like, yeah, Nike, Jordans. No. Forget all that stuff.
No, PK.
It's the PK. It's the PK with the produce shoes, baby. I want to welcome our friend, my friend, the Patrick Kelly from the Produce Industry Podcast. You, sir, are my hero. Welcome.
Great to be here as always.
What's up, baby boy? How you doing?
Living the dream, man. Living the dream as always. Like, yeah. Just real life shit.
I'm telling you, I got to get the shoe. Where's my walk and talk shoes? Ugh.
I got to do Bacon Cartel shoes.
Yeah.
I have some, but I only go through Converse. I got to get with your guy.
Listen, the produce inspired shoes are, they're kind of a big deal.
It's kind of a big thing.
Not kind of, they are a big deal.
You know,
Is it true that somebody got like knocked out so they get the banana shoe?
They got the first one in, yeah. They were waiting for it out the door. No, I mean, you know, you got to look at, I walked into Dick's, what, about 6 months ago, and you know, your kids are always telling you what they like, what they don't like, and you know, I'm in produce, obviously, and, you know, the kid comes running up to me with a Nike shirt that's got bananas and apples and pears, and it's got little Nike PLUs on the fruit. Like, they had some strategic thought. I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the shirt, and I'm like, $45. Huh. And my son's like, your stuff's way better than that, Dad. Right? And I'm like, okay. And it just dawned on me, like, you know, more and more, it's like, why as an industry do we not sell merchandise? Go to these trade shows, man. I swear, like, people are like, hey, you want this? You want these? Like, they're trying to throw this stuff at you. And it's like, if you look at every other industry that's out there, last time I checked, you went to Jamba Juice where they, every time you bought a smoothie, they give you a shirt that was hanging on the wall. No. When you bought a pair of Nike shoes, Air Jordans. Yeah, that's right. Jordan sent you another free pair of shoes, didn't he?
Oh yeah,
right.
No, I
didn't think so. All right, but so I mean, the produce inspired shoes really just came from like me wanted to wear some sick shoes to a show, and then now we're five pairs deep.
I'm digging it.
It's fun.
Yeah,
and I don't have to wait. I mean, Nike came out with dragon fruit inspired shoes this year, and they were just, I think they were like pink and brown. Nike New Balance came out with the what's that? The kiwi shoe. It was brown and green. Like, how was that like inspired? Right.
Right.
They came out with a Tiffany & Co. shoe. It was just that
the
color
blue.
But you look at that and it's like, yeah, let's come up with something fun, man. Let's have some fun. So yeah, I found a manufacturer.
But the thing is, people are buying them.
Oh my God.
I mean, remember back in the day when Chefwear came out, they had all the pepper pants and the tomatoes and stuff like that. And then Mozo, you had Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Samuelson came out with their shoes. So you had an egg and then the bacon. So guys were, you know, chefs were buying one, you know, two pairs. One was a bacon, one was the egg, and they would put a bacon and egg on, and so they would go that way. So there's definitely a market for it.
I mean, listen, if you look at how much is spent on marketing for trade shows, right? And people are going and trying to contact all, you know, Nikes and all this, and, you know, all they're doing is going and buying the same shoe, right? Getting everybody to buy the same shoe. Like, hey, we're all going to get red Chuck Taylors, okay? Red Chuck Taylors, everyone. That's what we're going to get. You know, everybody's like, why are we going to wear that? Right?
When you can have your own shoe.
The produce-inspired shoe. But I told a guy, you know, there was a guy, he reached out to me, and he goes, can I please get a rush order on the Indie Fruit shoes before this next show coming up? And I was like, yeah, why? He screenshotted the email, like, from his marketing department saying what shoes they're wearing. And he was like, absolutely not. I will not be wearing these shoes. And like, he like wrote her back. And then he was like, I got the shoes in. He sent her a picture. And then she was like, those are totally approved to wear during the trade show. So it was like,
and these are like comfortable and stuff.
They're very comfortable. I've got now I'm on like 14 pairs of this specific brand shoe. Yeah, and all custom made. I've all custom made.
Imelda Marcos of the produce shoes.
Right? I'm hoping, you know what, I just found this out. I mean, because as I was growing up, I never realized this, but I made a joke to my brother. I'm like, man, I'm like the Al Bundy of the produce industry. And my brother goes, oh, only women buy your shoes.
That's pretty funny, actually.
And in my head, I go,
What was our age demographic for our show? 20. Well, the largest percentile was 25 to 35.
All right. So back in the, back in the 90s for most of you.
Peg.
The guy on Modern Family.
The guy on Modern Family.
He used to be on a show called Married with Children.
My wife. So funny thing, Jeff. My wife was watching a new show. And I don't know, probably in like the last 4 years. And she's like, hey, you know, babe, who's this blonde girl? I'm like, Christina Applegate. And she's like, oh, what an actress. I'm like, yeah, Christina Applegate. And she's like, you know her? I was like, yeah, don't tell mom the babysitter's dead. And she's like, I have no idea. Well, what babysitter?
Wow.
Wow. Seriously?
And then I'm like, babe, Anchorman. And she's like, what about it? I'm like, I'm like, all right, babe.
So you had to go back to...
Had to go back, like, the whole, like, explaining her Christina Applegate, and she was just like, ah.
I mean, who didn't... I mean, from our generation, who didn't have a crush on Christina Applegate?
I'm not even in your generation. I had a crush on her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, back in 87, 88, when I came out?
Yeah, somewhere around
there. I think I saw that when I was, like, 10 in 95, and I was still listen, she gave a new meaning to petty cash, everyone. Okay, like if you,
yeah, this is true.
A real meaning, everyone. So,
what's your favorite fruit?
Oh man, you're asking me on the spot.
Yeah, I did. That's what I do.
Listen, if I'm gonna choose, and it's gonna be a day in, day out, all like, or seasonality, like, how are we talking?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Well, in today's world, there is no seasonality. So listen, just, you know, you got to choose.
At the end of the day, I eat a banana every day.
You got what you got there on your
I got a banana, I got a pineapple, yeah. But every day I'm at a banana guy, and then my go-to is always citrus. Whether it's a mandarin, navel, if there's citrus in the house, I'm on it. So I got to tell you, man, and some people don't like hearing that. And then I go to the avocado next. I can literally half an avocado, throw some salt and pepper on that and just smack it, dude, so eat it down.
Let me tell you something. When I was, I was in produce for a million years, right? In the warehouse.
You do look a little like Gandalf, a little older, wise gentleman. Go on.
You know what I'm saying?
Go on.
So,
wow, his head just got bigger.
What's up? So, and you know, you would do a facility walk, you know, check the coolers every day and look, you know, just kind of poking around, making sure everything's good. One of the things you do is you cut open a couple of avocados, you know, make sure, you know, temp is right. Things are good. Not dark, black.
So there weren't 48, there were 46.
Do you know what I'm saying? But I used to love just, you know, you open up that avocado right there in the warehouse. You squeeze that sucker. You just... And you eat the avocado right there.
Yeah. We know it was a million years ago. Food safety doesn't allow that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing too about
food produce, safety doesn't live in the building. Yeah. Okay.
The thing about the produce for chefs and that aspect of it is, and so many people probably don't even realize, a lot of people are probably going to have their minds blown. Produce is the only thing dying on your shelf.
Yeah. Very true.
Literally dying on your shelf.
Yeah, produce is a daily driver, man. You're bringing it in every day.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, there's no such thing as seasonality. You asked the question about seasonality. I think that's where restaurants are missing, is the seasonality of fruit. I think we need to go back to
that.
Oh, I agree
there
with
is,
that.
There is seasonality.
I hate the fact that you're getting peaches from, no offense to Chile, all right? It might be the best peaches in the world, but I don't think we should have where, oh, it's, you know, March, it's coming up for XYZ, you know, or it's the winter, we're going to come up to the root vegetables. I think we need to get back into that.
Well, I tell everybody, I said, listen, like when it comes to me, I like being excited about the food that I eat because food is an emotional experience, mm-hmm. right? And so, yeah, I don't eat sometimes peaches from certain countries or citrus during certain periods. Now, if I know it's good, like, listen, I love a California navel, right? California navel in February, March, April is amazing. I sell citrus for a living, everyone, but I'm not going to lie to you. Like there's a period where it fills a little gap to where it fills the gap on the shelf. And normal consumers every day will still eat it day in and day out because they want a piece of citrus. I'm like a citrus connoisseur at this point. Like, I'm like, no, I want a mandarin at this specific time period. I want a navel at this specific time period. And I want to have that experience. Like when the sumos come out, right? Mm. I hope to heck that sumos or that decoupon mandarin does not go past a 4-month season. I don't want it to. I never want to see it grown in Chile. I never want to see it because then now we're going to have to start gassing the fruit. Now we're, you know, right? There's different things that are going to change the quality. So, you know, when you look at those things, like that's why I said, so if seasonality, oh man, a decoupon, man, that mandarin, what is it? February, March, April. That's my favorite piece of fruit of the year. Next, yeah, it's going to be a banana. But then when Ecuadorian dragon fruit starts coming in, right? The pink interior pink flesh mm-hmm, one, mm-hmm. I'm switching to that baby, right? So
you sound like pretty snooty.
I mean, listen, but I tell people, I said when I go shopping at the store, I said the best thing about me is I don't price shop my produce because I want what I want and I want to pay for what I get, right? So
this guy's gangster.
If I'm good,
you want to pay for it in the
experience,
season.
And I want yes, and the experience of it. So again, as you see, like I said, like Wish Farms in Lakeland, we already know come this wintertime, we're gonna have those pine berries. We're gonna have Florida strawberries, man. Mm. When you know, right? But now when you go over to California, I know Salinas Valley has good berries, right? Driscoll's is up there; they've got some great stuff. But I mean, I'm not going to lie.
In the summer, you take what you can get, right?
And I'm like a retailer. I substitute. So I substitute per season. Sometimes, like I just told you, Jeffrey, I won't eat peaches for so many months because I want a leaner, man. I bite into that peach, I want to have to lean over that sink because it's dripping exactly, so bad. I don't want to be like, another month, it's going to be ripe.
Right.
Well, you know what I mean?
Terrible. Yeah. That,
so
that's how I feel with nectarines are my favorite.
And some people might hate me for that, like this other, these other countries, right? But I think, like I said, Summer Citrus from South Africa is a sponsor of mine. I had no idea, like, Summer Citrus. And then all of a sudden, I figured out there's a grapefruit you can have over the summer, right? That's not Californian, and it's bright red, and it's really freaking good, right? I'm sorry, Californian. I'm a Californian, right? But at the end of the day, I'm on the East Coast. All the retailers over here, they're not carrying pomelos from California or star grapefruit. They're carrying that red, dark ruby grapefruit from South Africa, right?
Yeah. Well, Star is pretty good, though.
It is.
Star is a suitable alternative for South African.
Mm-hmm.
Certain part of the year.
A certain part of the year?
Yeah.
So, like I said, I love the experience, right? I just love having a good piece of fruit at the right time. Like,
Jeff.
Mm.
Chef's perspective.
Mm.
What's your favorite on the fruit? Like, what are you doing?
It depends. The application for me is mostly man.
What do you get excited about?
Anything that's in season, to be honest with you. To be really, truly honest, it's when it's in season. I'm not in one of those, like we talked about it the last week, the last podcast, tomatoes gassed when they're just green and they gas them. I mean, that's not a flavorful profile.
No.
It's dead.
Yeah. First of all, there should be no, other than like institutional applications or something like that, like there shouldn't be any gassed tomatoes. I can't stand them.
No, and I guess it goes down to like what we're putting in our bodies and how we're getting it. We're not getting the full nutrient of what the plant's giving us. You know, I just planted a whole bunch of vegetables in my garden. I'm getting giddy like a school kid because every day we're seeing new shoots coming up. And, you know, I got Jimmy corn in there. We've got onions. We got garlic, leeks.
Jimmy cracked corn.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that's where it comes from.
I don't care.
And then we've got...
I don't care.
I got beets. We have watermelon radish. So I want, you know, being a farmer advocate, I think the only way to be a farmer advocate is to actually get your hands dirty and realize what it takes to grow the food that we are eating and not being mass produced.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like going out in your backyard and picking a tomato off the vine and popping it in your mouth. And then, like you said, the juice just all over the place.
Speaking of farms.
I was going to say, speaking of that, I actually did that at Wish Farms. They have a little gar. So they have a chef at the facility that cooks lunch for them every day.
Wow.
Every day.
They have a really cool treehouse.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's really cool.
I want to go in that
treehouse. I've been in the treehouse. I've been in the pixie room.
Ooh.
There's a room that's hidden in Wish Farms that you have to like somehow find the latch, push the door open. And
like a speakeasy.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, listen.
I wish I could experience
that. Oh, you wish.
And Wish Farms. They have a slide to get from the second story to the first story, so you can just go on the slide instead of taking the elevator.
Is that right?
100%. It's actually on my Instagram page. I write down that thing.
No kidding.
Speaking of the farms, they grow the produce on site. So the chef will go out and she manages the small little farm that they have. But speaking of the tomatoes, we walked out there and Gary Wisniewski was like, check out these tomatoes. We popped a couple of tomatoes right off the vine. Amazing. Amazing.
Huh.
I mean, wasn't gassed.
Do you know what this sounds
right?
like?
It sounds like a field trip.
To me, it sounds like.
Well, you can visit my YouTube channel. It's all there.
Yeah. It sounds like we need to get involved in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's right there off I-4.
And it's right there. Pass it every freaking day.
Yeah, I know a guy.
I know a guy. Yeah, that guy.
They have those. I know a guy. What are those white strawberries?
Like, the pine berries.
Those are called pine berries.
Yeah, pine berries.
Good Lord.
Got a little tropical note to it. It's very interesting.
It really? Yeah. I mean, my daughter's like.
They only have so many acres. It's like 300 acres total. That's it.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
But here's the thing. People think there's the farming community has to have massive land to do it. And there are a lot of guys, a lot of farmers are doing it in 15, 20 acres.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. You don't have to have all that land.
No, and that's the misconception, I think.
Everybody thinks that you got to have a lot to produce. But
speaking of farms, if you're listening to this, support Cahaba Clubs. Okay. Over out the
Marvin.
Yeah.
Over at Keystone.
Yeah. Yeah. Check him out. He had some issues with the, you know, social media and somebody hacked them and lost the whole everything. So, you know, check him out. Cahabaclub.com. Yeah. Check him out, man. He's good people.
Not only that, his product is like insanely delicious.
Yeah. This is his time of the year now coming up.
Especially he has that peanut grass that he was experimenting with, the University of Florida that they developed. Mm-hmm. Good Lord, have mercy. Mm. I mean, that tastes just like a peanut. It's unbelievable. That and his wasabi is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite. Totally my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't have that. I had you paired for something else.
Yeah. What?
Well, look at that high-pitched voice right there. Did you hear that?
Oh, right. What, like a buzz button or something?
No, not buzz button. I'm just thinking more of the... what is that cilantro he has there with the lime?
Cilantro and lime. Oh, yeah. You're talking about
the green.
Yeah.
I thought I had you more picked for that one.
I like that too. Everything he does is really terrific. Speaking of also farms, we need to figure something out with Amy Yee and Jane as well.
Oh, City Chicks and the Yee Farms.
Yeah.
So Amy, I reached out to her in Facebook and made sure.
Where is my bread?
I reached out to her. She said she's going to look at her calendar and tell us a date on Thursday that she can come up.
Does she know we're the number one food podcast?
Well, she just was on Apple another podcast.
But I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He keeps mentioning
she
it.
Know, yeah. I mean, she know who we are. She know who I am. Big deal. You know who this is? You know who you is? What is this?
Well, you're also
I
BTS.
I feel like the low guy on the totem pole here.
That's always me. Man. I'm the low guy in the totem pole. It's always me.
I'm just literally number 127 over here.
Bro,
well, I feel first, like yeah. Oh, geez.
Wait. Let me explain something, okay?
Here it comes.
Here it comes. It just happened on the 3rd.
No, I was there.
Yeah, it just happened.
We just get John and I just got dudes, and the next thing, we're number one. Yeah. That was the text. I'm not going to announce it yet because I'm waiting for one more thing to come through.
The text back would have said, Carl, I know your opinion is very highly overrated, but
it is, and it's fine. But I didn't go live with it very quickly at first because I look at three different charting systems for Apple, and I waited till all three hit the like a little trifecta. Because I didn't want to be like, hey, look, it came in as number one. But then somebody's going to look on that one. It's like, you're an effing liar.
You're an effing liar.
I like that he thinks that somebody's looking. Like, I like that he's like, well, you know.
Somebody is.
So it's funny because I have my podcast and all the status stuff that I do, too. And I follow Walk and Talk. I have the analytics for it as well. And it's so funny because I saw it in the morning come across and I'm like, all right. Okay. Carl texted me.
Hey, buddy.
He's like, guess what? Circle dash. And I'm like, bet.
Bet.
I don't know. One thing I can tell you, we've talked about this a lot. Like, to get on the Apple number one chart, it takes a lot of consistency. It takes a lot of marketing, right? It takes people don't realize what it takes to be on there. Like last year, what we talked about it, you know, my podcast was top 100, 40 out of 52 weeks. Right. Yeah. And the same thing with yours. And when you look at that and how much other podcasts are out there, what people and consumers don't see is they just see there's so many of those little squares in their phone all the time. Right.
Right.
What they don't realize is how many episodes are related to that and how many people are actually listening to that. Right.
Yep.
So the more you listen, the more these get on the charts, the more it shows up in people's phones. It's funny because Carl laughs at this, Jeff. And he's like, he says this sometimes, I'm not going to say the exact words, but my number ones come from other countries. Right. And Carl sometimes is like, I don't care about that. He does.
I know why you had it. You actually cleaned it up.
But,
we all know that he uses those four letter words.
Yeah. So it was, but more or less like, you know, the global show. And I'm like, that's amazing because like I've been number one in Kenya and I've seen like the downloads come from our international global series, right? And the history of Fresh Produce. So when you get number one in those areas and you do when you get certain, like some of your buddies that'll take that screenshot, and when they're over in Nicaragua or where they're over in other countries where you know you're talking and they're screenshot and showing you number one. So it is, it's the biggest accomplishment. Cheers. And proud of the team here for getting that done, because that's one thing that, you know, when we look at how these podcasts and audio sources are affecting our industry, there's a lot of people listening and now realizing how the supply chain works and what chefs are doing and what the coolers are doing to be able to make this content come to life.
Right. And that part of the other reason I wanted you to come on.
And he does care.
And yeah, you know, that's the genesis of Walk and Talk. It came from out of COVID and just trying to help the industry at large, you know, amateurs, one of the reasons, one of the reasons that I wanted you to come on today was to talk about our number one status. No, kidding. No, kidding, dude.
He brought 127 over here. I think it might be like 135.
Listen, first of all, we're doing a lot of stuff together.
No, 100%.
Produce Industry Podcast, Walk and Talk. We're starting to do things together, and I just wanted to put it out there. You know, we're blessed to be in the situation we are in. Same with you.
Oh, 100%. As a group. 100%. 100%.
The truth is, how many names are out there in podcasting, in the food business, that the people have the character that we have? Like, energy, character. I was just talking to somebody the other day. We do things different. You do things different. We are doing. It's not just we're sitting in a room and talking. We actually go out and there's cooking happening.
What do you mean? We're not in a green screen right now?
Yeah.
The
green room was over
there.
We're
not virtual right now. But no. We're not virtual?
No.
Oh, I thought we were virtual.
See, the difference, I think, between what you're doing on the Produce Energy Podcast and what we're doing on Walk and Talk, what we do together is we go out and physically get out into kitchens. We physically get out into the farms.
Yeah, 100%.
We're physically connecting people. We're doing. It's not that we sit at home and then we say, I hope I get a lot of downloads. I hope somebody on Facebook saw me or something like that. Like,
agreed.
We're putting in legwork where the vast majority of podcasters don't.
No. And again, one out of, every seven podcasts, they fail, right? New podcasts normally don't make it past episode 9, right? Because they get to a point where they've spent hours, they've spent money on the equipment, right? And then all of a sudden they've got 37 downloads, right? I mean, even myself, I'm very open and honest with everybody. The first year I was podcasting, I started April 1st, 2020. And I remember the first week I had 23 downloads. I was so happy. Like, I was like, oh my God, 23 people that maybe I do know or don't know listen to this, right? And I think the first year, you know, with doing one episode a week, it was like, okay, 23, 42, 100. And people would be like, you know, when I had my first sponsors, they were like, well, when do you expect your numbers to improve? I'm like, I get happy when I see 101, 102, 103. Like, every one download, like, you know, would make me happy. And then, like, I started to realize it's not about the downloads, right? It morphed into something else, right? It morphed into, hey, COVID's done. Hey, why don't you come visit us at the shed? Oh, okay. What do you mean? Okay, let's do some on-site stuff. But so I agree. I mean, I think being on site, I think a lot of these other podcasts, and like the other day you saw this because I tagged you in that post of all the industry podcasts that are out there. You saw that?
Yeah.
I named off 15 and I said, the first three people that reach out to me, I'll buy your passes to PodFest, which is happening next year in January. I'm in PodFest. No one reached back out.
Really?
Not one person. I mean, Carl did. I mean, I've been talking to him about going to PodFest, getting the team up there because it's a great source of education. But not one person from our industry reached out. And I even said to myself, you need to get on there and make another comment. So I did. I made like a comment like, is there no one going to reach out, right? Kind of to put the post back in everybody's feed again. And then nobody reached out again. And then I said to myself, I know why they're not, though. Because they're not doing it for the industry. They're doing it for themselves. They're doing it for whatever their selfish need inside their consulting business, right? Their ad agency.
Right.
Hey, listen, no offense. Like, you guys, great. There's 15 podcasts out in the industry, but if you're not out there being relevant to the industry,
how are you helping grow our community and our people, man? It's like,
that's 100%. And because think of the content, right? When you listen, okay. So for me, when I'm listening to a podcast, what I can't get into or get behind or embrace the monotone one way, like just somebody reading off of a, you know, piece of paper. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen. That's not entertaining.
There's been a couple podcasts he told me to listen to, and I immediately text him afterwards and went, I couldn't get past 5 minutes.
And these were like, these are high ranking shows.
I know. Isn't it crazy? Like, and trust me, there's shows that in our world too, cause there's like 80 in the food industry now, right? You've seen them all. And some of these, like, I can't even get past the intro music.
True story. But
like, it's like some of these ones, I'm just like Fiverr would have done better for you. Like, how did you do? Like, like, what is going on? And then like, it's crazy. And then, like you said, I respect the boomer generation about trying to get creative, right? But starting a podcast and getting on a green screen and, you know, isn't creative, right? It's like it's more than that. And I tell everybody, like, when you look at the Walk and Talk platform, right? It's a platform. It's not a podcast, right? It's got video, it's got audio, right? It's got your website's LinkedIn. You've got a lot more than just a podcast, right? And I think a lot of people think, oh, I'll just start a podcast. We'll talk about it. We'll have our friends on. And then they get into it and they're like, yeah, I have work to do. I got to go sell produce.
Right? Like, I have a real job to do.
They're like, I can't just sit around. Like, look, guys, we've been here. You guys have been here longer than me, but just getting into this, we've been here for a couple of hours already. Just talking, planning, eating, looking at
work,
food.
Some of us work. Some of us have a towel over the shoulder who did nothing.
Oh, is that me?
I was wondering why he had a towel over his shoulder.
I'm still wondering why it's on his shoulder.
I don't waste John's paper towel. I have this. That's what I do.
But listen, it's the truth. Like, a lot of people, they got to be back at the office right now, right? If they're going, and trust me, we get this all the time because I have people that are on interviews and, you know, they'll be like, hey, I got a hard stop at 11. Because they might, even some of our guests, right? They have to get back to work. Like, this is not just, I'm going to start a podcast.
Suckers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the ones that do well have the passion for it.
It's consistent. I mean, listen, yeah, it's consistency.
It's more than passion.
Well, it's chemistry. It's passion.
It's passion. It's John's photography. It's consistency.
It's a lot.
There's a lot to it.
It's the iceberg model, right? Like, there's so much more.
There's only the tip on the top, and there's so much below.
There's so much more.
Just the tip, baby.
Yeah, I'm
pointing at you.
Yeah, just the tip.
Just the tip. Okay.
But now that you came to Ibis Images and saw what goes through, the man to my left, John, that's passion.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
People don't realize.
I was walking in, like, it was like a dark lights. It's like the mood.
You didn't actually have.
Carl was like, "Hey, buddy, come on in." You know, I walk like, in. There's like lighting going
Lou
on.
Lou Rawls song is on. He's like, "There's you'll like never
no, it's 70.
Yeah, yeah, there's like three dudes over like one light and applied food. And I'm like,
no couch.
I'm like, wow. What's going on here?
But we realized that we started, I think it was like 10 o'clock when we started. You got here at a little after 12:30. We were just finishing the last plate. And I want to remind everyone, food does not move.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Once it's dead and it's on the plate, it ain't moving.
No. It's
so, I mean, that's a credit to him. And
move it to my mouth.
Well, and your belly.
From my belly. In my BTS. Belly.
By the way, how is the BTS today? By the way, BTS, so Patrick, if you know, that is an acronym that one of our loyal listeners, Amy Yee, came up with. It was supposed to be behind the scenes, but now it's known as Big Tummy Status.
Yeah, Big Tummy Status. Amy Yee in the house.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving. your partner in organization and efficiency.
Well, Amy, I don't have the privilege of having that BTS.
So what I did is I posted some behind-the-scenes stuff last week.
Was your big tummy in it?
No. I just put BTS because it's, you know, most people know BTS. And I get some...
That's a Korean group, right?
Yeah, right.
The boy band?
Right. So I get a side note. She's like, hey, what's BTS?
Big tummy status?
And she didn't know, but she said a funny. She goes, big tummy status? And I was like, wow, that's brilliant. That is brilliant.
So that's, but on the contrary, yes.
Hmm. Yes. So, Pooch, I want to bring up Big Pooch Rivera.
You got to bring up a couple of things. You got October 23rd. You got November 12th and November.
This guy, and you're on the list too.
March 7th.
No. Wait. Forget his March 7th or something.
Forget my March 7th.
Yeah. You can't forget his March 7th.
It's been great being here, everyone.
All right, listen. October 23rd, we are having a walk and talk bash over at Sally Mar Rooftop Bar in their private banquet room on the balcony.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. It's going to be chefs. It's going to be
right now,
food
17.
Influencers.
17 chefs right now.
Yeah. Food influencers. Distributors, all sorts of cool people from the industry. And we're going to eat. We're going to have cocktails. Going to be badass.
Am I on the VIP list?
Yeah, yep. You are on the VIP list.
Oh, yeah. See? I just get back from California. So
I don't care where you are. That's where you're going to be.
I'm just getting back.
So three farmers are going to be there.
Yeah.
So we got to look for the fourth one.
Well, Vicky, you know how many after I come, right?
Well, there are
three.
All right. So Pooch, I want to get back to Big Pooch. Had an hour conversation with him a couple of days ago. And we're giving Pooch Rivera from Louisiana. He's going to get a 10-minute segment every month. And he is going to be the Creole ambassador to the world on our program. He's got a pretty nice, repertoire. Yeah, like he was on Nat Geo. He was on a bunch of shows. He's a serious guy.
That's how I met him.
Right.
Yeah. He was with his producer.
Right. So anyway, we're gonna do a segment with him, and he's gonna go through the history of Louisiana culinary in Louisiana. So, and it's pretty deep because you have the French influence, Italian influence, African American influence. You know, through all the different periods of time. I am so excited about this because it's coming from a chef. He's a chef by trade. Coming from a chef's perspective, it's going to be freaking badass.
Well, we not only just don't have just Pooch, we have so many others that are going to be lining up. He's going to be the kickoff.
He just happens to be he's kicking off, but there's another, five, six?
I think we're back up to six now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got Manny, LJ, Jason, Pooch.
These are all chefs, right?
So, got it.
And each chef comes from a different region of the country, and they're going to really focus in on that particular region. And it's going to be freaking cool. But anyway, Pooch is also going to be meeting us out over at the World Food Championship. That's November 8th to the 12th or whatever. So that's going to be so much fire. That's going to be so much fire. I was real Mark Conway. He's like, hey, you want to be a master judge over at the World Food? I'm like,
you know why he asked that, right?
I'm like, yeah. Why?
Look down. You're professional.
That's what she said. I am a
I'm talking about your BTS.
Oh yeah. We can't see it anymore. Anyway, so yeah, it's I wear this with
pride.
With pride.
Yes. We know.
Yeah. I gotta go to the doctor.
And I have to go with him because I'm the excuse.
Right. Yeah. It's your fault.
See?
I was 200, 195.
Jeff, I told him, I said, 50% of your plate needs to be greens. He goes, what does that mean?
You mean green sauce? Pesto? Chimichurri?
Pesto works, man.
Pesto's okay for you?
Yeah, that
works for me. Yeah. All right. Just want to make sure.
You got to do a good pesto.
I do.
Yeah.
Did you want me to make it?
I'm sorry.
Not now.
No, he's got BTS.
I love it. Oh my god! Wow.
I'm just gonna make up when we have the place, when we get the house. I'm gonna make a sauce or a rub that's gonna be called BTS. Yeah.
The BTS,
and it's gonna be fattening as hell.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be foie gras.
Yes. 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 Wow.
Serve it with sour bread.
Yeah. There's so much to eat. You know what I mean? Like so many things that we got to get into, man. Like, you know, just keep feeding me and feeding me. Oh my god. All right. So
yes.
Did you want to talk about March 7th?
I mean, like, I guess we can.
It's kind of a big deal, isn't it?
I mean, it's the first in-person event that I'm hosting, so it's kind of a big deal.
Let me before he gets you into wanna, this. You
wanna, maybe wait,
hold on,
let me,
let
me
be. Hold on, I'm going to be Flavor Flav for a second. Okay.
Where's your clock?
I'm wearing a.
This, oh, he's the, wearing dude, these. I
got the, you got the kitchen rag over his shoulder.
Yeah, boy.
I'm not even gonna say what we called that back in that rag back in the days.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. So
shoemaker.
Okay. Let's silence. All right. So what he's putting on, what he is creating right now, the experience is nothing short of abject, absolute badassery. Okay. You know. I will tell you something. This guy, I wish I had a tenth of the energy that he's got.
Stop eating beef.
No, I won't do that. That's not worth it for me. Go to hell. Energy, go to hell.
He's to not hell. Willing to put the work in.
I'm not willing to do that. No.
Fine. But, change is hard, man.
You know what? I was trying to be, you know, I was trying to like, to pump you up because it's all great stuff, man. But anyway, go ahead.
I appreciate it.
Hey, what's your thing on March 7th, man?
Can you give us an overview, please? Go ahead.
Where's the spreadsheet?
I got a hard cut up, hard cut off. Come on.
I got a hard stop at 11, guys. Wow. If we could be done, we could get this out of the way. March 7th, it was about a year in the making. So we did the Southeast Produce Council's Southern Exposure in Orlando. That was what, March of 2022? We all kind of went out to that.
Was it this past year?
Yeah.
Was that already a year?
It was this year, right?
Year, right?
It was more, 22, yeah, 23. You're right. It was 23. You're right. You'll see.
It's already been that long.
Yeah. So that was March. It's almost been a year. But before that, I remember we were sitting in Tennessee and someone came up to me and we were in a networking event and they said, you know, when are you going to put something live on? And I was like, I do live streams all the time. Like, hey, what's happening? And they're like, no, you should do something. I said, yeah, I'm probably going to. So I kind of started like touching base with some of the sponsors and was like, hey, if we're not going to be in Orlando next year, right? Like, what do you think about hosting this event? And then boom, it was in Orlando again. We were like, well, get it. There goes that. Well, previous to that, they were like, hey, we're not going to be at the Dolphin and Swan next year. And I was like, where are you guys going to be? And they were like, we haven't announced it yet. So in the making of that, I had this weird feeling that it was Tampa because Tampa was in 2020 and that was the last trade show. It was like March 4th or something like that, right before COVID, right? So it was the last trade show. So that was 2020. So I'm like, man. And then they said, boom, right after it's announced in Tampa, right? And I made a call to Mary Heslip at 10 Acre Marketing. And I said, there's no way we can't do something. And obviously previous 2022, I was already talking to people about an in-person event, right? And so I reached out to 3 to 5 sponsors and I was like, I got this idea. Tampa, hometown for the podcast, you know, that's where I live. And they're like, Mary was like, what are you thinking? And I was like, I have no idea. She's like, maybe we rent a boat or something, right? We just started us. And then all of a sudden, Mary's like, I got an idea. She's like, let's rent a yacht. And I'm like, yeah, no. And she's like, no, trust me. So between March of 2023 and I would say August 30th, we planned this out, pulled the trigger. So we are going to have an exclusive inaugural in-person event at in Tampa Bay, March 7th, 2024 at, before SEPC's event, Southern Exposure, which is, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, how it usually is. And we are renting the Starship yacht. We're going to be able to have about 113 people on the boat. It's going to be, like I said, an exclusive invite only
ship.
Yeah, it is a ship. Yeah, it's a yacht. You know, I'm going to pull, what was it? You remember Vince Vaughn every time someone said, well, your boat in,
dinghy.
You remember in Starsky and Hutch, he was like, how's your boat? He's like, it's a yacht. the yacht. So we're going to have, retailers, wholesalers. We're going to have all of our group right here, all the Walk and Talk team. We're going to have a celebrity guest. We've got some cool autographs already signed for, to give away to some of the people. We've got a very cool Patrick Kelly inspired, meal plan that we have. We're going to make it an event.
So you're going to be beef on this thing.
There is no...
You're walking on the boat there.
There's no beef. There's actually no beef.
All right, I have a special dietary need.
Yeah,
I need beef.
Yep, you can eat before you get on.
wow. All right.
But,
he'll bring a attaché filled.
No food.
Like a metal. It's like the football. It will have all containers.
It'll be
food or drinks.
No, it'll be like
bento boxes.
It'll be like a whole suitcase of strip steaks.
Yeah.
Just stacked on each other.
Well, we got bacon, so we're good. We got pork.
Okay.
Hey, bacon. Hey, good.
We
have bento boxes.
We got it covered.
We do.
Remember last year when we did Saver St. Pete. So we do have bento boxes.
Hmm.
No beef though for you. No beef for you. So yeah, it'll be fun, man. It's going to be a great time. We're celebrating the podcast. We're going on next year. Will be 4 years, our 4 year anniversary. And again, celebrating all the community, right? Bringing the community together and right here in Tampa Bay. I mean, why not? Right. So
we're going to be doing some video with you, right? We got some sizzle reel stuff to do. Like we got a lot of stuff coming up. Yeah, man.
We're going to meet everybody. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. I've got some sponsors that are coming back for, another year. We did some cool videos this year with, Waihi Produce and their onions, Arctic apples with their apples.
That was Thomas Parker.
Yeah, Thomas Parker did that. Mm-hmm. And that was great, man. I mean, those are the things, like I said, we're going to build that community, show people what we're doing. And, just try to grow this industry together.
And I think more of your sponsors should get involved with chefs doing things because, who else uses the product?
That's
know he's the conduit, but I'm saying
sponsors we're working on it, right? It's crazy to say that Carl and I have had a lot of talks with sponsors, right? And uh-huh. It's crazy how many of them do not do consumer marketing. Like, it's not that they don't get it. It's just their budgets have always been aligned that way. I mean, listen, I'm going to call out Zespri right now.
I feel like they don't get it.
We pitched Zespri many times on a podcast sponsorship. Do you want to know? Listen, Zespri, I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth, right? But it's like Zespri spends a lot of their money on clipping coupons. Why? That's just their strategy.
So, but their thing is then they're devalued.
You've noticed this. If you walk into any grocery store, Walmart's, anything, Publix's, and go to where the Zespri Kiwis are, there's always like a dollar coupon right off it, or it's right on the package. So they invest a lot of that marketing in the consumer, like hand-to-hand in-person marketing. And listen, like...
All they need to do is like a QR code. One stupid thing and you print it on the box, whatever, listen, and that's it.
I'm totally with you, but that's what I'm saying.
It's a Kiwi is their product?
Zespri Golden Kiwis or Zespri, the regular Kiwis. But like I said, but those are things like you... I agree. Like, it's not that they don't get it yet. It's just some of that old school mentality is like, it's like, if it ain't fixed, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. And that's what they've been doing.
But back in 1985,
Blockbuster thought the same thing.
No, it's
when my mom used to clip coupons.
And that's why I think, too, that the reason why Walk and Talk is as popular as it is too, is because like people are seeing and listening. Like you said, people are listening. And I see the same thing when we go, look at that. We went to that show. It's funny, is actually this right rewind at 2 seconds. Someone texted me and they kept texting me, and I was like, who's texting me? So I took a picture of all of us. I sent it. Guy wrote back and says, tell Carl what's up. And I'm like, this guy knows Carl.
Who was it?
Right? John Papp. Jack Vanderbilt. Oh, Papp. Yeah. Okay. But still, but you know what I mean? It's like, we're building like this community that we're building. It's like, no, they're watching. People are listening. They're understanding. Canopy
Cafe.
Right?
Oh, Canopy Road?
Canopy Road Cafe. Yeah. That we sat down for breakfast and they were trying to figure out who we were.
Who? Where? What was that?
It was a breakfast joint over off really? Falkenberg. Yeah.
And just like I said, it's just, I think that's why we're becoming, we are becoming more popular.
I really believe, and I don't mean this because, you know, obviously, I feel like what you're doing, and I feel like what Walk and Talk is doing, I feel like we're like the hottest things out there. You know, and not everything represents that. It
isn't
it's not like dump trucks of cash or, you know, getting dumped on the front yard. People are paying attention.
Yeah,
they are.
I don't. Some of the things that people say to me, like someone coined me like the official voice of the produce industry, or they're saying that you have so much passion for this industry, and at the end of the day, like. I just say, as funny as it sounds, I'm like, no one just doing it the way that I see it. Right. And there's a lot of people out there making videos and I cringe when I see them. Sometimes I'm like, whoa, but dude, you're right. That's why I tell people, I go, I'm nothing special. I said, it's just, I do have a passion for produce and I have a hell of a good time doing this. And that's what sets the difference because 90% of these people have jobs.
Whoa. Patrick Kelly, PK, you are special, man. Hey. You are special.
That's what the Reading Rainbow used to tell me.
Reading Rainbow.
Getting back to the one vendor that you were calling out with the Kiwi, what they don't realize.
They're great people too, by the way.
And I'm not saying if they're bad or good, whatever, indifferent. Here's the thing. If they got and hooked themselves up with a chef, to me, Kiwis, there's only one thing to do. Eat it. And that's pretty much it. You know, take the skin off and eat it. But if you get to be.
You can actually eat it with the skin on.
True.
Yes.
I understand that. But most people, their persona is.
You scoop it out.
You're right.
But no, if you get with a chef and they have that passion for a Kiwi, then there's recipes that correspond with it. Then it's an availability to then sell more.
No, of course. I mean, look at Sun Pacific. Sun Pacific runs the Cuties, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's their Kiwi brand?
Oh, the Zipper Fruit.
Mighty's.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same company, right? That's the Sun Pacific.
But I call it Zipper Fruit because you just rip it over with your fingers.
But I'm just saying, it's like, you look at that. You will never see Mighty's being marketed. All they have to do is market Cuties, right? And people will make the correlation. I think that, you know, some of these companies that don't see digital transformation as a plus yet, and I'm going to be real and calling some media companies out, but some of these media companies don't give the impression, don't give the data and analytics back, or they're hiding it and saying, oh, well, you know, you didn't sign to get that deal. Like, listen, at the end of the day, digital transformation has to be transparent. So again, like Carl and I, we produced these two videos with the team here, right? With Chef Thomas Parker. We went back and gave them the data and analytics. Hey, here's your views. Here's what we have. Here's how it's performing, right? Look, we posted on LinkedIn. We shared it here. Here's the impressions and likes and videos here. Like, we compile that. A lot of the media companies that are out there that are offering digital transformation and charging people $100,000 to $200,000 a year in contracts. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jeff, you're coming back saying, how did my ad for December go during the pecan season? And then go, let's check on that. Or they just, it's not in your contract, so you're never going to get any of that.
They don't give it up.
They don't give it. And that's where I told, you know, someone called me a week or two ago and said, your competitor is stating this. And I said, ask them. And Carl, you know, some of these questions, I'll be like, ask them their top, you know, position in these countries. Ask them what their download rate is or here. Ask them what their metrics is on their click-through rate through this, and this. And then they'll come back and say, oh, well, they said they're not going to share that. I go, I know, because I have their analytics at zero. Like, right? Like, people don't realize, like that proof, that data is actually what you need. So the more, if Zespri was to take it on, right?
Mm-hmm.
They invest that with us this year, right? We're going to bring them data and analytics that's going to show them exactly what you just talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting that from the other, the big multi-million dollar company. So why are they going to give it to me or Carl? Right.
Right.
Cause they're just going to say, well, we're going to keep giving the, you know, this to this, and we're going to keep it here. We're going to stay with how in the world, Carl or Jeff, how in the world are you surviving on just print advertisements? Because I'm going to tell you one thing, that big old packet I get in the mail every single day goes right into my recycle bin.
I mean, you're helping with recycling.
I am. Thank you very much. Yeah. I want to just sustainability is a big key for me, everyone. Right. Yep. Thank you very much.
It should be.
I just do my part.
Duh.
But right. So I think, you know, digital transformation is going to change a lot. And I think as we keep growing, I think that's why we become more popular too, is because we're showing people how they're going to get the reach, not how Carl Fiadini is going to get the reach, how Chef Thomas Parker is getting the reach, how Peninsula Foods is getting the reach, how Arctic Apples is getting the reach.
Yeah.
No one, listen, I care about Carl.
I care about Patrick.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I care about them in our community more, right? Because the more they bring on and sell and do, the more we get back.
I subscribe to the, you know, if something happens in altitude and you put the oxygen on yourself first and then you go and help others. I subscribe to that. But I do embrace everyone's their needs have to be met. You know, but everybody wants an ROI in this particular genre. And there's no such thing as an ROI with this, unless you're doing hard sales. If not,
exactly,
you're branding.
Yeah.
And branding, there's a cost of branding
and
exposure.
One.
Yeah.
No, so 100%. People
well, your ROI, the ROI in this is going to take longer to see than it would be in other
maybe
venues.
Because maybe though. Right. Maybe though. Depends how on many, how you do
hold
it.
Hold on. Listen, guys. How many videos do you personally, do you watch on YouTube and you don't like, and you don't comment and you don't do anything? You watch it and you're like, huh, that's really good. And you move on. I'm guilty of that.
I'm not.
I am. And I've been better. Now I try to be a little cognizant and nice, and I try to hit a like button or something like that.
If I truly enjoy it, like if I watch the full 15 seconds of it on a short, oh yeah. Now, because I know where I am in my digital relationship.
But most people are not, are not content creators. So most people pass it by.
They will. My kids,
and
they
by
swipe
the way,
up, right?
This is a great little segue into, I wanted to get into something real quick. Chef Greg Ritchie from SoCo over in Orlando. He's one of our newest restaurant recipes chefs, culinary partner chefs. And in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, his content that we posted out there, put up his video series, is upwards of 50,000 views.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. On YouTube. Yeah.
I get happy when I get two.
Me too.
Everyone counts.
Every single one counts. And when there's, you know, multiple thousands of them, it's really
I'm interrupting this, but do you remember that one? I remember when Carl first started the podcast and he told me one time, he goes, I remember one of your podcasts, I got like 97, you know, listens, but they listened like the whole way through. And I said, and Carl was like, he was bummed a little bit. And I said, just remember, I said, if that was a premiere movie, you just had 97 people waiting in line. 97 people just sat in your theater and watched an hour and 15 minutes of your show. I go, I'd be pretty darn happy if I were you. And I think that's, as you're alluding to, right? It's like,
it's perspective.
It's totally, because at the end of the day, if every movie premiere, right, they're showing up and they want to get a huge audience for a movie premiere, right?
Yeah.
But then once that one movie premiere is done, then it goes out to how many times it hits the theaters and everything like that. But just remember, at the end of the day, it's like you're getting a selective audience. And when you get to that 4,000 or 5,000 a day download, you're sitting there going, that's an audience now that's taking time to sit or watch like a movie premiere, man.
Listen,
or a release.
I think it might have been, well, there were several people in the very beginning that said, ah, Carl, you know, do a podcast, you know? And I originally told those people, like, no, you're a dummy. Like, it's stupid. There's no, why would I do that when there's video? You know, and I didn't know any better because I wasn't listening to podcasts. So what do I know? But as it turns out, what we're doing here is the driver now for everything Walk and Talk Media. And it's amazing, you know, and listen, and like, you know, being on Patrick's show in the very beginning a couple of times, and Chef Roberto Trevino, his podcast and stuff. And I was like, man, that's really cool. And I would ask, you know, hey, what were the you know, downloads, whatever. And it was always very impressive. So now I'm so happy that we got into this, and we were a little bit fortunate. You know, we're a little bit blessed because, you know, we had the, you know, our video series, we've been doing that for years, right? So we had a little bit of a following. So the transition into podcasts was pretty good. Like we're, you know, we're close to, I don't know, about 800,000 downloads right now. And I think there's an opportunity to hit a million. This October will be 1 year. This month is a year.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
I told you do it faster than I did. I told you.
Well,
that.
We had a little bit of a following. Like I looked at, because I remember when you started your podcast. We didn't know
there
each
was
other.
And there was no there was no following. Yeah,
No. Listen, when you started your podcast, when I started my YouTube channel,
yes,
I didn't know you.
Yes,
but correct. I remember seeing you. I was in produce, for crying out loud. I remember seeing you. I was like, the hell is this? You know. And within about a month or two of each other is when we started our independently started on this content.
Jay road. Introduced us.
Yeah, Jay.
Jay Gardner.
Yeah, exactly. Citrus America. So, you know, in that, his growth over that time has really just been like...
Exponentially.
I don't want to say exponential. I'm saying solid.
Mm-hmm.
Solid. Rock solid. Because the people that are following him are serious about following him. And that's a testament to what he's doing.
You've seen it too. We've been to the shows, right? But it is true. I mean, I always say like, I think the second million is going to come faster than the first million. I think it took me a while. I mean, I'm at 1.45, right? So it's not bad. I mean, we average, this is what you got to look at. You guys are looking at the growth right there. I mean, look at that. Look at the flat line. I mean, that was that first year that I was telling you, see that 23 downloads, right? But it took, and then all of a sudden, like,
boom,
it exploded. So and again, what I always think about is like you're always not going to go up, right? You're going to go up, you're going to go down, you're going to go, you know everything in between. So it took me to get a million downloads, it took me almost 3 years, and now it's that million downloads, I think, was it like April?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
and we're at 1.45 million right now, so right. You know, now we're averaging a couple hundred thousand, almost a quarter now, how it's just grown, right? And that speaks to...
In this genre, in the podcast world, these numbers are sick.
Oh, these are insane sick numbers, and especially for niches, like that's the crazy thing about it. For niches, it's amazing because most people want to listen to crime. Most people want to listen to Ben Shapiro. Like most people want to listen to celebrities. Most people, you know what I mean? Like
the Joe Rogan and all that.
Right. Yeah. And again, like even my podcast, like the guys, what we're doing right here is completely off the cusp. But a lot of times, like I'm interviewing CEOs. I mean, I'm interviewing people that are like,
different.
Right?
Your platform style and what we're doing.
My Monday show. Yeah. My Monday show is completely different. It is legitimately like I will get the CEO from this company and they'll want to come on and talk about their supply chain or what food they produce or what grower. Like I have this one lady, we had her on, they grow like 70 different types of produce in Canada, like throughout Canada, right? Like it's crazy. And all they wanted to talk about is how they service the school systems all throughout Canada on a lot of their local produce. That's amazing to me, right? And then the Friday shows, Dan will tell you what's fresh from the fields, right? Yeah. So it's like, and sometimes Dan will just ramble off for 15 minutes on, hey, rhubarb is coming up, everybody. Do you have rhubarb? You can do this.
Rhubarb is coming up. Rhubarb. He's got that voice. Yeah.
You know, have you ever met Dan? Dan's like 6'6", too.
He's got the radio
voice. It is the welcome back, like he's got it, but no, it's true. And I think that everybody listens. I have some diehard followers that if my podcast doesn't post on Monday like 9:30 a.m. they're like, hey, drove to work this morning, your podcast wasn't up. And I was like, and you I'm okay? like
yeah, we get that too.
And I'm sitting there like, yeah, Spotify didn't upload it today, you know what I mean? I'm sitting there in the background like
I get Wednesdays. So what's the topic? I'm like, I'm wondering too.
That's a great
waiting for my text.
No, it's so true. But
Brian Kilman, that's the one that does that. He'll send me a message on Wednesday. I get a little messenger on Facebook and, hey, what's the podcast topic this week? And I'm like, I have no idea.
I think
I've said it so many times now. He doesn't ask now. And now it's just like, it's a crapshoot. It's like Russian roulette.
Listen, there's going to come a time. I promise there will come a time when we are going to be so far ahead on content. Don't shake your head at me. Don't you shake your head at me. You
know, let me explain that. Like, listen, my pad one. Let me give you some advice from a 4-year-old here. Okay.
No, you won't. No, oh you, you know, I told someone this the other day, they go, you know, what happens if you get rid of the podcast? I said, you'll never know. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I got 190 YouTube videos. I can produce all that into audio. I said, and you'll never know. I can quit tomorrow. I go, and I'll have, you know, episodes produced for
192 weeks.
192 weeks. But as a backup, right? Like if you were to say, like right now, I had a gentleman, CEO of Grub Market. He canceled with me, had to go out of country. Boom. I literally grabbed the Shelby report that was sitting on my desk. And I saw the first tab and it said, HEB reclaims top grocery spot. I pressed record and I read this article for like 5 to 7 minutes. And it's like, boom. Yeah, no. And that one posted, like, I did that on Thursday, posted on Monday. So you're not going to keep thinking that, big guy. Keep thinking that.
I don't know. I think. Listen, I'm going to aspire. I'm aiming high to be more organized in the approach here.
I'm aiming high, but not for that high.
Relevancy. Just, you told me relevancy early.
Here's the thing.
The thing about vouching is relevancy.
I've noticed something. I'm starting to breathe like Tony Soprano when I talk. I'm like...
BTS.
Oof, I will God. Never have that problem.
Oh, my God.
No, yeah. He actually is going to have that Dickie Doo problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The meat stroganoff.
The meat sweats. Here's the thing. There are two people on the team that want to get more structure, and we use mine like whiteboards, and we want to use calendars.
Yeah. We do that too.
All right,
really? And who, John? Who in this room doesn't do that?
Carl,
I'm looking at you, John.
I'm looking. Is we're Carl, both looking at
I'm
you.
I'm looking at you.
I could imagine.
What is this? An intervention? No. Wait, yeah. Whoa. Hold on a second. I am not ready for an intervention. I am not going.
We're not
go.
Doing a food intervention.
I am not going.
You know what we should do?
Eat this cucumber.
I got it. I have the idea. This is perfect. We put him on a limit until he gets structured. Oh, so no food.
Oh,
he's only allowed food. Tastes.
Whoa. Mm. Wait a second. Hold on.
Not full blown meals.
I like where this
only
is going.
Only tastes
until you get more organized.
I was the one.
Well,
that just...
everyone, that's our show. Well, for that's a wrap.
John, when did you find out that somebody was coming today?
Today. Listen, I am the special guest.
It's even worse. It was even worse.
Oh
it was
my God.
Ding dong. And John goes, who's here?
You know, John, I was wondering because when Carl said, I go, I can't come tomorrow for this reason. He goes, oh, okay. Then I said, I can come. I sent me the address. It's like 9 o'clock. He goes, yeah, okay. But his address is in my car. I was like,
I don't know it by my heart.
I was like, don't people keep addresses in their phones nowadays?
All right. So no, I have two different. I have my phone GPS, and then I have the one that's native to the car. Right. I always use the one that's in the car.
He's a Gen X.
Really?
What do you mean?
What is wrong with you?
Use your phone.
I have
goes everywhere. Your
no,
phone.
No, but I have. Hold on.
I don't want to hear this.
When you have CarPlay,
this is hurting my brain.
Shut up. Well, I have plug-in. CarPlay, okay. Yeah,
plug it in.
What happens
in.
With the
silence?
What happens with the plug-in CarPlay is the little
doohickey,
the node starts to not work anymore. So what I do because I want to be able to use my phone at stops, red lights and stuff. I want to be able to whatever
license plate number G4.
So what I do is I use my in dash. You know, GPS for stuff that's already that I go to a lot. So I just hit the thing, you know, recent, and that's it.
You don't remember where places are?
I know how to get here.
Oh, okay, just checking.
But for you, I don't have the freaking address off the top of my head, you know?
All
right. And I wasn't going to go out to the car.
I know it's numbers and it's off of a G road and that's it.
That's it, man. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll tell you what, this is a.
That was, we're done.
We're so done.
that look, right? You just got from John.
What about the looks I'm giving to all of you? I got daggers.
Hey, everybody, stay tuned next week as we talk about the whiteboard, collective studies on Free how form. To get more talk about, organized.
Talk about Gen X and why you're talking whiteboards and stuff. You know?
Yeah, Gen X doesn't do whiteboards. He needs a yellow legal pad.
I prefer it.
A little spiral notebook.
Spiral. Up. But, yeah.
like Dragnet.
No, yeah, like the black
exactly
and white.
Yeah, what he needs.
The compass, the composition book.
Composition.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, my daughter still uses one of those in school.
Okay. Okay. All right. Oh
just,
my
just
gosh.
Shoot me.
All right.
Patrick's always great seeing you, bro.
Yeah, man. No, like great to be here.
I appreciate
great
you. I appreciate studio. You coming out here, you non beef eating son of a
my non beef eating less self.
You dirty. All right. Patrick, John, you over there. We are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.